Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Please find in your Bible John chapter 8. And it may also help you if you have this little piece of paper entitled God's Invitation to Liberation. Always move beyond my feeble, frail voice and hear the voice of our Heavenly Father speaking to your heart. And when you hear that voice, take a few notes and listen for God's tailor-made message for you. We stand on the edge of the 4th of July when we commemorate. In 1776 in Philadelphia, 56 men gathered and they pledged their all for the grand cause of freedom. Famously, Benjamin Franklin was asked, "What have you done?" And here was his reply. He said, "Madam, we have given you a free republic." And then he added five pivotal words, "If you can keep it." If you can keep it. You see, declarations of independence, declarations in general, spiritual and political, are easy to make, but they are hard to maintain. So that's the goal. God wants to give you an invitation to liberation. He wants you to be free in Christ, and He wants you to stay free, but that's hard. And we're going to talk about that today. I want you to evaluate yourself. Are you liberated or leashed? Think about it. Are you liberated are leashed? I think we all see people who are wearing chains, so to speak. Millions of people who are refugees in the world and they're beaten and beleaguered. We see people who are chained to addictions and self-defeating life behaviors. My daughter-in-law, Catherine, is here and she's got a great line. She says, while she's in a wheelchair, there are a lot of people who live in invisible wheelchairs. They have their struggles, their issues, their change that they are fighting, and they are seeking freedom. And that's what God wants you to know, that He has freedom for you in Christ. Look on your worksheet. Here's the goal of God. Here's the call of God. It's in Galatians 5, verse 1. Let's read it together and synchronize our hearts. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That is God's goal, for you to experience true freedom, and that's freedom in Christ. So come with me to John chapter 8. Let's merge these two passages of scriptures and magnify this great truth of God's desire for each of us to be free in Christ. Jesus was teaching and He was explaining the pivotal truth. Let's pick up in John 8, verse 31. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's offspring. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, 'You shall become free'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you will be free indeed." Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to come to full spiritual attention right now. Help us to hear your living word. Lord, there are so many people who are fighting with these invisible chains, chains of sin and self-defeat, chains of victimhood. I pray, Father, that right now, this would be a time when people rewrite their histories, because this is a turning point moment. I pray that you would get me out of the way. And I ask that your Spirit would deposit your transforming and liberating truth into every receptive heart. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's what I want us to do. Let's begin to, number one, identify your problem. We want to discover how to break free from these self-defeating behaviors. And step one is always to identify your problem. Now, I'm not sure what your chain might look like. There are all kinds out there that I have been battling, that I've encountered. And maybe your chain is the chain of being temperamental. You're a person that's emotionally driven, temperamental. I discovered a long time ago that a temperamental person is about 90% temper and 10% mental. There's that spirit of the microwave. Some people just get hot over nothing so fast, it's like their mind is a microwave. And they encounter some little fence, some little difficulty, and all of a sudden you turn that microwave on high and they get so hot. Oh, I determined also that little pots boil very quickly. So you got to be careful that you are not chained to your emotions. A lot of people just live on this emotional roller coaster. Things are going good. They're high one moment as a kite in a March wind. The next moment, they're down in the valley. They're all beat up and defeated. They're temperamental. There's a better way to live. Don't be chained to your emotions. Some people deal with spending. Their chain is spending. They're spendaholics. Man, they just are that mantra. I saw it on a bumper sticker one day. A person that says, if you think money can't buy happiness, you just don't know where to shop. That's the mantra for some people. Man, they're spending money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't even like. And that's the American way, it seems like. Trying to keep up with those Joneses, and then the Joneses refinance, and then where are we then? We're further behind. According to some American experts, we learned from Dave Ramsey that most Americans spend 126% of their income. In other words, they get further and further in debt because they're locked into image. They're locked into status. They're buying things they can't afford. And it becomes a chain of debt that pulls you down and keeps you from being able to be a giver as God prescribed. There are other people who are chained by food. You know, we live in the South, and you got to put a little butter on everything. Butter on your grits, butter on your comfort food. And if you don't watch it, you know what that food can become? It can become an invisible chain that pulls down your health and depletes your possibility of being the person that God wants you to be. Some people deal with the chain of alcohol. It's one of the thickest, hardest chains to break that I'm aware of. I can't tell you over the years how many people that I've talked with, people in my family, and they have been chained to alcoholism or some sort of chemical addiction. It has ruined so many people. A man takes a drink, and then the drink takes a man. And then all of a sudden, it impairs how you see yourself, how you relate to other people, how many marriages and families have been destroyed because of the chain of alcoholism or another chemical addiction. For instance, my dad. My dad was one of the strongest, toughest men I've ever encountered. He was a John Wayne character to my young eyes, but he had this terrible habit. He smoked. And I started catching on when I was a college student. Smoking kills you. So I literally got on my knees one day. I love my dad. I said, Dad, would you please stop this? I would give anything if you'd quit smoking. So he quit smoking and started chewing tobacco. I don't know which was worse. It was a nasty habit, but it caught up with him. After 50 years of tobacco use, it caught up with him in a vicious way. He got lung cancer, and then that cancer went into his liver, into his brain, into his bones. The last visit I had with him was heart-wrenching. He said, Jay boy, would you kill me? Everything in my body hurts. Would you kill me? So whatever pleasure he got out of that substance, he more than paid for it in those last years of his life. You see, there are a lot of chains in this world. And, oh, I could go on. There's the chain of pornography, the chain of procrastination, the chain of legalism, the chain of perfectionism. Here's what I want you to do. Identify your problem. What is that invisible chain that you are wearing, that self-defeating behavior, your invisible disability that needs to come off? That's what I want you to focus on today. And let me further note this, just as a person who has been observing for the last 40 years, people in ministry and entering into their private world and being invited as a pastor to hear their problems. I want you to know this, behind every self-defeating behavior is a lie. Would you write that down? Behind every self-defeating behavior is a lie. Jesus gives us great truth in John 10:10. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, life in its abundance. That's the goal of God. He wants to give us the best. He wants to serve us filet mignon and cream brulee on the menu of life. But there's a deceiver. He says also in John 10, there's an enemy who is here to do what? To kill, to steal, and destroy. And that's the devil himself. So there is a chain breaker in Jesus, and there's a chain maker in Satan himself. And he wants to hurt you, and his chief strategy is telling lies. That's how he does it. Behind every self-defeating behavior, there is some lie that you have bought into. Maybe it's a lie about yourself. Maybe you're believing the lie that you're a loser, you're a victim, you've made mistakes, you can't ever dig out. You see, that's a lie. Maybe you're believing a lie about God, that God is your enemy, God is a killjoy, God is going to squash you someday like a bug because he really doesn't care about you. You see, that's a lie. Maybe you're believing a lie about your past, that you've made mistakes that are unforgivable, you're non-redeemable. That is a lie. Maybe you believe a lie about your future, and your future is hopeless because of these mistakes. And everything is dim and grim. No. The truth of God is that God loves you, and he has a future and a hope for you. He has blessings for you and not cursings, we learn in Jeremiah 29:11. So I want you to understand that the problems are always linked to a lie. So with that in view, I would also make this observation. Look on your worksheet from Romans 7, verse 15, that we all struggle in this area. Every person, if you've got a pulse, Paul, he called our number. Listen to Romans 7, 15. I don't understand myself at all. For I really want to do what's right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to do. Now, if you look at that sentence, there's a lot of I's there. If you just circle the I's, there's a half dozen I. You see, Paul is acknowledging in his own strength, in his own ability, in his own power, he frustrates himself. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever made the same mistake for the 10th time in the same week and just say, Lord, help me. I'm pitiful. I am so frustrated with myself. And yet, the scripture is telling us that within our own capabilities, we don't have the resource to win, to defeat these lies. And that's why these self-help programs that are in abundance, I mean, thousands of self-help books come out every year proclaiming for $15.95, I can change your life and solve your problems. They're lies too. You see, all of these programs lack power. And so that's taking us to number two. After we identify what we have as a problem, I want you to go and investigate God's promise. Investigate God's promise, because here's the good news. The promise of God is that there is power available for you to defeat that self-defeating behavior. Now, some of you are saying, Jay, you just don't understand. It's always been this way in my family. Now, Jay, we've had addictions. We've had depression. We've had dysfunction. We've had divorce. That's all we've ever known in this family system. Well, did you know that you've come to the right place today? You see, we serve a God who is a chain breaker. There's a song that says there's power in the name of Jesus to do what? To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There's power in Jesus. And that's what we want to do. As note as we look at this promise of God, look at Luke 14, verse 18. On your worksheet, Jesus came to the synagogue of Nazareth. He was starting his ministry, and they gave him the scroll of Isaiah. He opened it up to Isaiah 61, and he read this passage. It's recorded in Luke 4. What a moment. He said, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the downtrodden free. You see, this is what God wants you to do. He wants you to understand that the key to liberty is Jesus. He is the key. And when you connect your life to Jesus, do you know what he does? That key opens the lock. That key begins this process of setting the captive free. All right, now that is what God wants you to do. He wants you to understand that the lies can be beaten and broken. Now, the reason it is so important that you do what Jesus says in John 8:32, that you believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life, is because that's how the lies are defeated. Lies lead to leashes. Lies create captivity, and truth creates liberty. That's the great thing I want you to pull away from this message. We live in a world where there's a lot of truth decay. Have you ever gone to the dentist and he looks at your mouth and says, there's a lot of tooth decay in there? But when I look at the news and I look at this world system, I see a lot of truth decay. We live in this world that basically says anything goes. Truth is now relative. Truth is not absolute. It's like what it said in the day of Judges. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's the world that we're living in. But in reality, God's liberating truth is objective, it is universal, and it's constant. It's objective. In other words, you can't make it up and make truth subjective. You just can't say, well, I feel like this, so that becomes truth. That would be like saying, I feel like California is on the East Coast, not on the West Coast, but I just feel that way today. I feel that water freezes at 50 degrees. That's because that's how I feel. No, you can't rewrite truth. Truth is objective, not subjective. And what's more, truth is universal. It's true for all people at all times. And it's constant. It doesn't vary. North is always north, no matter what you think or feel. It's like 2 + 2 is always 4 on every continent, for every people, for all times. And that's the beauty of God's truth. You can count on God's truth. It is your liberating constant. Well, that's why Jesus came, for you to know the truth, because His truth will set you free. It liberates the captive. Well, let's go to the process now. Go to number 3. Implement God's procedure. Here's how it works. You see, I want you to latch on to God's promise, believe His truth, and here is how you can implement it. This is almost that moment in the movie where the hostages have been captured by the terrorist. And the terrorist, they get distracted. And all of a sudden, you get the key, and the key is going to set you free, and you break out. This is that moment for you to break out. And let's go through the process. It begins with A, admit. Admit that you are leashed. Look what the scripture says in John 8, verse 34. Jesus said, truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Now, a lot of times we focus on the symptoms of sin. Somebody uses negative, hurtful, harmful language, or people are drunkards, or other people commit adultery. They abuse people. They're captured with selfishness and greed and other self-defeating behaviors. But see, that's just a symptom. You see, the real issue is sin. The Bible tells us that sin comes to us by our nature and then by our choices. It's as old as Adam and Eve. We had Vacation Bible School a week before last, and we focused on the creation and then what happened in Genesis chapter 3, how the devil himself showed up. And what did the devil do? He did to Eve what he does to me and you. The devil deceives. And he started with this simple premise that God's word is not true and you can't trust it. Satan must have come to Eve. He was a dazzling creature. He wasn't a slimy snake crawling along, inspiring fear. He came to Eve and he said, hey, Eve, darling, oh my goodness, you're looking really good today. And I love the place you're living here. It's so velvety smooth. There's not any mosquitoes here. There are no stickers. There's no poison ivy. What a place you live in, Eve, darling. But Eve, I hear that there's a problem here in paradise. I hear that there's a tree over there that has the power to give you godlike qualities, and yet you have been denied access to the sweetest fruit of all. I can't believe God would cheat you, Eve. And now Eve, she is suckered in. And she is taken in the devil's line and lies, hook, line, and sinker. And what does she do? She takes that apple. She believes the lie. She is deceived. She takes the bite. She shares it with Adam. And that is what causes the fall of humanity. You see, we are sinners by our nature, it runs all the way back to Adam and Eve, and then by our ongoing choices, we've been given this gift of free will. And unfortunately, every person who's ever lived who has free will, they have chosen to sin against God. And the ultimate point here is you got to admit it. You got to own it. You can't change a problem until you acknowledge the problem is there. We host an AA group here, Alcoholics Anonymous at First Baptist Church. There are 12 steps. And what's the first step? You've got to, number one, admit the problem that you are powerless over this drug of alcohol. That's the starting point. I was talking to a guy who's a tremendous marriage counselor. And I said, okay, what have you learned from all of these thousands of couples that you have counseled with? And he said, I have learned that you've got to admit the problem early. He said, here's the biggest thing that I face. Couples, they hurt and damage each other, and they're too late to admit the problem. And by the time they get to me, the thing is already unraveled. The deal is done. The marriage is absolutely dead, and all I can do is help them bury it. If people would just get off their high horse of arrogance and admit they've got a problem and come in time, then we could help them. The same is true in the medical world. You know, you got something wrong with you, and you just keep delaying. You play softball. You procrastinate. You hesitate, and you don't go see about it. Does that generally work out better? No. You see, your delay can lead to your death. So where do you start? You admit the problem. And then, B, you believe that Jesus can change you. After you admit the problem, you believe that Jesus can change you. Paul put it like this, after he lamented about his proclivity to sin and his frustration in not doing what he wanted to do, what did he say in Romans 7? Who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, he is the hero. And you've got to believe that Jesus is the way out. He is your truth. Jesus said of himself in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You see, his truth liberates. In the same way that a lie captivates, his truth liberates. So he wants to be your freedom giver. Just think about it. I mean, here's the logic of it. If Jesus could enter into the ultimate captivity of death, he died on the cross and he was put in a tomb, stone cold dead. That's ultimate captivity. But what did he do? Jesus had the power to break the chain of death and set himself free. So if he has that kind of power to beat death, doesn't he have the power to help you beat your problem? Whatever you're dealing with, whatever your chain looks like, Jesus is more powerful than your problem. That's what it says in Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Why? Because his power is bigger than your problem. Maybe you've got a health problem. Maybe you've got a relationship problem. Maybe you've got a financial problem. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care the size of it. Our God is bigger and more powerful than that problem. But what you got to do is believe him. You've got to trust him. You see, our problem is not that we need a new leaf. We need a new life. I know some of you have been to the beach. Last time I was at the beach, I was walking along, and I looked down ahead of me, and I saw this poor old seagull. And something had happened to it. I don't know if it ran into another seagull or somebody just caught it with a hook and it took the bait, but it was dead as a hammer and there were little flies around it. And what if I went up to that seagull and say, you know what's wrong with the seagull? The seagull just doesn't have functioning wings. What the seagull needs is just a new pair of wings. It'd be ready to take to the air and fly. No, the seagull doesn't need new wings. It doesn't need to turn over a new leaf. It needs new life. And that's what we need. You see, we're dead in our trespasses and sin. And the only cure is that we've got to trust Christ to be our life giver. And he will do it. That's what Jesus specializes in. But you got to trust him. Do you remember that moment when the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee? And it seems like anytime they got into the boat, a storm would come up. I don't know that they ever had an easy passage across that sea. But God would teach them through the storms. So the storm came up, and Jesus wasn't in the boat with them, but he comes walking on the water. Now, who sees him? Peter sees him in the darkness. He recognizes this Jesus. And what does Peter say? He said, Jesus, If that's you, would you let me walk out there with you? Now, this is the highlight moment in Peter's life, easily, because there were 12 guys, and they all saw the same Jesus, and it was only Peter who said, hey, Jesus, can I come with you? And he summoned the courage, he summoned the faith to do what? To put his leg over the side of that boat and do what he had never done before and step out on that water like it was concrete. And for that moment, what did he do? He summoned the courage to trust Christ and to walk with him on the water. My friend, some of you need to get out of your boat. You need to say, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you. I've been chained. I've been in the boat. I've been trusting myself for a long time, but I want you to set me free. Now, the sea helps you do it. After you admit and believe, then you got to commit. The sea is commit your all to Jesus. Commit it all. The good, the bad, the ugly, the hurts, the habits, the hang-ups. Commit it all to Jesus. And say, Lord Jesus, I believe you can do something brand new in me. I don't need a new leaf. I need a new life. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 on your worksheet. Because here's the promise of God. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are passing away, and behold, the new is coming. That's the essence of the good news. You can move from being leashed to liberated. Here's what Paul said to Timothy. I've not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you the spirit of power, love, and self-control. Well, let me finish it by asking you to do this. Move from information to action. Move from information to action. Now, one of my favorite stories about someone who has been saved and transformed is a story about my friend Doug McKelvey. Doug McKelvey is one of my most spectacular and favorite mission partners. We've been to India 6 times. We've been to Nepal, Alaska, South America. We've done missions together in Montgomery, all the way to the ends of the earth. But did you know Doug's background? He wasn't born a deacon. As a matter of fact, he was born here in Montgomery, and he engaged in a whole host of every manner of self-defeating behavior. As a matter of fact, when Doug was 30 years old, after going to the University of Alabama, this is your picture of your University of Alabama graduate in his finest moment. He was 30 years old, living out in what he called the shack in the pits outside of Tuscaloosa. He'd already graduated from law school, but he just couldn't find his way. He couldn't find his path. He was engaged in every manner of self-defeating behavior you can conjure. And he's just kind of kicked back as an old hippie flower child, Doug McKelvey. And something happened. Do you know what happened to Doug? He went to a church service like this, just like this. Somebody invited him to come to church. He didn't go to church. He thought that was for losers. And he came to a church service like this, and at the end of the service, he had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this lady comes walking up to him, this senior adult lady, double his age, and she looks at him and says, young man, he's got hair down to his waist, and says, young man, you need Jesus. And he was entranced by what she had to say. He stopped in his tracks, and he just said he sat down. He felt compelled to sit down. And that lady sat there and she told him about the love of Jesus. And Doug received that day the seeds of the gospel. And the seeds of the gospel began to grow. He said that he went back to the shack where he was living and he ferreted around. And up on a top shelf, he found a Bible that a woman had inscribed to her grandson. And obviously, he just chunked it up there and it collected dust. He opened up that Bible and started to read the Bible and began for the next 6 months, 7 to 8 hours a day, to pour the Word of God into his life. And the Word of God became a cleansing filter, and it totally transformed my brother, Doug McKelvey. And the Lord called him to be a man of stability and productivity. And what did he do? He broke his chains, and he set him free. And if he did it for Doug, and he did it for me, he can do it for you. Let's pray.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.